SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans and Stewart haters. A very interesting Travers weekend. We got so much to do. I'm this far short of overwhelmed. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com. Remain calm. Do not hit the Stewart panic button. A number of things, obviously, on that front. I'm not going to let it dominate the introduction to the weekend recapping of what was a spectacular Travers Day, for the most part. And it shouldn't even be limited to just Travers Day. The whole weekend, Saturday, nationwide, as well as around here Friday, we had the big New York showcase day, and some nice racing went on there, and there were some really good stories, including Tim Hills and Carafa. For those of you who had Carafa as the first horse mentioned on the way, you win. And I think that was probably about 30 to 1. But I don't know. I don't script this. I kind of just go with it and whatever grabs me. The Travers Day action that culminated with Catholic Boys' absolute demolition. Absolutely throttled this field. Was the race run in a certain manner that, you know, limited opportunity? Maybe. I mean, the racetrack was slick. There's no doubt. And it was not easy to come from off the pace, and very few horses did on the main track. But Catholic Boy and Mendelssohn, the two turf stories, the two turf horses. In fact, when I wrote the thing up, I tried to parse out the interesting, you know, breakout, the horses from the Triple Crown Trail and the horses from the turf and the filly and, you know, all the different subsets that went into this. And it's what made this race so interesting. You had a referendum on so many different horses. You had to make hard decisions. And the decisions that were the hardest and were made and came to fruition most successfully were those made by Jonathan Thomas and Bob LaPenta, John Panagot, you know, the team involved in Catholic Boy. And no matter what you thought, my personal feelings have been that he's more turfy than dirt. But that this was a unique opportunity coming off the Belmont Derby. And why not? And look at this payoff. It is just, you know, just an exceptional gambit based on a horse with a lot of talent and a horse that when you want to fold in horsemanship and having to make adjustments over the course of a year, in the course of a career, when we get to the Sword Dancer and Chuck Lawrence and Matt Shearer and Glorious Empire, when you have a horse that throws you knuckle curves, you've got to make adjustments. And you'll hear Jonathan Thomas in the second half of the show lead off the second half at 10:30. And you'll hear him talk about that focusing on the horse as opposed to your, you know, personal objectives and your wants as connections, as owners, trainers, breeders, etc. You can have goals and you can have wants, but they don't supersede your horse and your horses. And a lot of that was really intertwined, that message, throughout the Saturday card and the winners and all the storylines. Catholic Boy, in discussing his path to the Breeders' Cup, where do you think he goes? The Hill Prince, back to turf. I mean, right? That's what one of the things that Jonathan Thomas suggested. That's not the priority right this minute. Right now, Thomas, whose own personal journey as a horseman and as a professional was and is a little circuitous, because he went out on his own, didn't meet with initial success, and rebooted his interests and his path, and it led to this, his work with the Malones and through Bridalwood, and then the clients that grew from that, and everything about the story is winning. It's terrific. Jonathan Thomas, Javier Castellano, his sixth Travers. This is unbelievable, really. His own Hall of Fame resume I think I suggested yesterday on TV that it has a Pat Day look to it right now in terms of the Derby. Here he is piling up Travers the way Pat Day piled up Preaknesses, and you know the Derby win will come. Yeah, you know, Mike Smith waited a long time and now has two. But Javier Castellano, I suppose if this race is your goal and your target, it certainly was for Bob LaPenta. It was one of the races that he's always wanted to win, and he's certainly won his share of big races, including Belmonts, Florida Derbies, etc. And when I say that the whole day was intertwined, there's a element of this when we talk to Ron Moquette, the win for Whitmore. Whitmore and his journey, it's the seeds, laid the seeds, the foundation for the team that ultimately is together on Catholic Boy. Bob LaPenta and Sal Kumin. Of course, Sienna Farms and Twin Creeks also partnered in with Catholic Boy. But Bob LaPenta and Harry Rosenblum and Moquette intertwined with Whitmore, and then Sal Kumin got involved, and that was, I'm pretty sure, his first connection to and dealing with Sal, excuse me, together with Bob LaPenta. So a lot of things that went on Saturday. The day flowed so beautifully and was so intense, and just kept building momentum. Gloriously beautiful day, which everybody deserved, all the players and fans and the horsemen, everybody. Naira, after weeks of off and on difficulty from the weather, it was just a delight to have the kind of day we had Saturday. Record handle. And we'll get into all the betting portions of this and all the other decisions, et cetera. We'll talk about the there's a hatful of steward discussion from Saturday and from yesterday. It's got to get to all of it. But to get through the initial portion of the Travers, the biggest portion of Saturday, a couple of sidebars, of course, going down the chart. Mendelsohn absolutely exceeded most expectations. Some people stuck with him. It seemed to me that it was a little, you know, a little foolhardy, but give the Coolmore team credit. Ballydoyle coming back and trying again, and they absolutely are rewarded with a placement in a quasi-classic. Ran great, and you could tell at the top of the stretch he wasn't winning, but hung in gamely and was a length clear of Bravazo, who just chugs away. Bravazo, somebody said, if there's a horse, I don't think it was necessarily on the show, but I think I either read or exchanged the note or heard somebody say, if there's a horse that you had to say will hit the board out of all this group of 11, that it would be, ended up being 10, by the way, of course, Meistermind scratched, so it was 10, but out of this group, Bravazo felt like the horse that would, you know, show up, most likely to show up and run his race. He did, and another placement for Calumet and D. Wayne with hard-trying Bravazo. King Zachary was the one horse that really closed significant ground. He was last at some point, and I had bet him and had taken the price, nice 30-to-1-ish number, ended up actually 28-to-1. And he came with a run, but it was just a little too late. We'll talk to Dale Romans, of course, who exacted the Alan Jerkins. Promises Fulfilled is getting more and more dangerous with every passing start. But Seven Trumpets, and congratulations to the West Point people involved, including my friend and our partner, Ed Kelly. This is a horse that they've been waiting for, and that Dale has told you on this show. King Zachary and Seven Trumpets were both horses in the winter that Dale knew would get somewhere. And a placement, and the way that Seven Trumpets ran, that was a real effort. We'll get to that. We'll talk to Dale, but he'll also give you the King Zachary feedback. Dino Rosso ran okay. I mean, he finished fifth, got the last significant check. I'll tell you one thing. You want to talk about proposition bets? If Vegas had offered, if the sports book at Monmouth had offered a wager that Trigger Warning would finish ahead of both Gronkowski and Good Magic, what would those odds have been? Trigger Warning, sixth in here, and I think a positive experience for Mike Roan on this stage. Tenfold, no excuse for him, no excuse at all, and you could tell actually that he didn't even get bet even a little, 17-to-1, and I had put him on top. I thought that he would come into this race and maybe connect all the dots. He was in a perfect stalking position for Ricardo Santana Jr. and came up empty. Not as empty as Gronkowski. And Good Magic kind of got shuffled back early, and that put him on his heels. And he never, he was in bad position early. Just shows you, you know, talk about the break, mile and a quarter, oh, plenty of time. No, there's not plenty of time. Not if you're you know, not if you have designs on a certain trip. And it was over early for Good Magic. Not the most disappointing, but certainly it had to be frustrating. Wonder Gadot to know after, you know, she also, I mean, was having a comfortable enough journey, a couple wide behind the leaders, and then she really stopped. I mean, she really backed up, and Jose Ortiz, or Rad Ortiz, I should say, wisely just kind of piloted her home and wrapped up on her and jogged her home. But that, listen, they tried. They tried. You applaud that. We'll take a break. Come back and hit the other highlights. Mention Chucky Lawrence. He'll be with us later. Bob Baffert, of course, comes to town, gets a red jacket, and then wins the personal ensign in the forego. The personal ensign not without more controversy. Not the forego, the ballerina. Much, much more. Stay here.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light? Is that right?
We're back at the races. And about 20 minutes into the hour, we're going to have Ron Moquette at the bottom and Dale Romans at 9:45. Johnny D has left, or yeah, probably has left by now. I don't know if they went, he and Will Schwartz went for breakfast, but they might be on their way back to Philadelphia at this point. Great to have the boys here, and they had a terrific, terrific weekend. A lot of golf, a lot of good eats, and they had plenty of fun at the racetrack. Got to see him Friday, Saturday, and yesterday, actually. And there's a lot of I do have lots of stuff to cover away from the racetrack action, or it may have been on the racetrack, but in coordination with the weekend, including our son Zachary, and who was here for the weekend. And while Tina and I were watching the 2-year-old's work yesterday, he asked his girlfriend to marry him, and she said yes. I wouldn't be telling you this if she said no. And it just so happened that her parents were in from Rochester, and so we took them, you know, we were all together at the racetrack yesterday, so it made for a very special day. And it actually got nice and hot yesterday, and so finished up the weekend portion. We got plenty to do today, including a $69,000 carryover. But yeah, that was one of the day's festivities. So congratulations to Tina's eldest son Zachary and Andrea. So kind of nice. I congratulate my wife on not marrying off the first one yet, but one to go, I guess, on that front. It made for my first experience in this arena, other than my own marriage. But I was pretty touched by the whole thing. It was kind of special, and got to introduce them to John and Johnny and Will. The rest of it, I'll feather in as the morning goes and as the next couple of days go, because it'll take a couple of days to wade through everything. And I don't want to give short shrift to what happened on Friday, because the New York Showcase Day was terrific. And one thing, mentioning Philadelphia, for those that were watching, and of course Richie Vega came to town and had opportunities early on the card with Bluegrass Express, who capitalized. And that was heard from plenty of listeners who scored out on him at $14 at 6-1. But then we were all looking forward to the stake and to the seeking the ante for the 2-year-old fillies, where Collegeville Girl looked to capitalize on her early season maiden win. And there was an incident in the gate. It's turned out to be okay as far as everybody can tell, but it was a little dicey immediately when it happened. She reared up in the stall, and without warning, really. Everything had been fine, saddling, and she was terrific, and big group in from Philadelphia to enjoy it, and things went very wrong. Her leg got caught in the door. She got what has proven to be appears to be completely superficial, but you don't know if they're, you know, the tendon sheath and all that. It could have been just a complete fiasco, as opposed to just a partial fiasco. And she got stitches and is home, and they'll monitor her and get her back to the racetrack this week, it appears. So I just felt terrible, though, for Richie Vega and Bob Brittingham and the whole team that was up from Philly to enjoy the opportunity to run in the seeking the ante. So on the other end, Jeremiah Englehart, a winner with Party Like Grandma, and for Andre Worry, a nice win. Nice for him to come into Saratoga and get a stake win. So congratulations on that front. But all the other, we'll get to all of it. Ravelli, that dugout in the funny side, the 2-year-old, that was a terrific race against Bankett. And La Moneda, what a nice filly she is. The Yotto winner, Tom Morley and Junior Alvarado. I mentioned Carafa, unbelievable. Carafa, way forgotten on the board. Crazy price, Dylan Davis. And Seafoam, the three-year-old, and of course there was scratches, and that was these gate scratches are just maddening because it changes the complexion of the races. There's really nothing you can do, though. What are you going to do? And it happened actually yesterday too. There was an early gate scratch that completely in the early pick five that changed the complexion of the first half of the card. Back to Saturday though, before we're joined by Ron Moquette, and we'll go backwards from the Travers. I mentioned Chuck Lawrence and Matt Shearer. Glorious Empire, what a tremendous story this horse is. 62.5 claim and a horse with bleeding problems. I mean, serious bleeding problems. And Chuck Lawrence, who is a horseman's horseman, a jump rider, that we talked to Chuck after the Bowling Green upset. And the thing about this win in the Sword Dancer, it felt on paper that there were plenty of horses that wanted to be part of the pace picture. And then the gates open, and nobody goes. Give Channel Maker credit. I mean, that was at least to the credit of Rosario. He recognized that, he better get in position. And when 23 went up for the opening quarter, you thought, okay, it's honest. And then all of a sudden, it was not so honest. 48, 113 and 4, 138, and forget it. They went 25 for the second quarter, and then Glorious Empire gets even a better, almost a 26-second third quarter. No hope. I mean, that was it. The middle portion of the race in the middle three quarters of a mile was like in 116. You knew around the turn. You could see that. Leperoux was just coasting. And all of a sudden, everybody else is starting to ride their horses. No hope. Forget it. But it's a tremendous win. First grade one for Matt Shearer and for Chuck Lawrence. We'll talk to them. Channel Maker hung in and wasn't threatened to be second. Spring Quality, Edgar Prado was doing the best they could, ended up third. High Happy, almost a merry-go-round. The only horses that made up ground were Highland Sky and Sadler's Joy. So that one, and I know that left some people. There were some people that bet him, but it had to be tough when it came to your multi-race tickets. It was a killer because I don't know how many tickets had him on as an A, I'll tell you that. You might have had him as a B and or C. I mean, but that was not easy. And, of course, going backwards, I won't spend a lot of time on Whitmore because we're going to talk with Ron. But Rad Ortiz, I don't know, what he was thinking with City of Light. I can't imagine Michael McCarthy was too pleased, or the Warrens. A grade one opportunity in the forego here and a win in your in opportunity. That's why they came. And so be it. Settled for second. In the meantime, Moquette just keeps, bringing this horse postward, and all he does is give a good account of himself. His fans were really rewarded. 1960 was a nice number on Whitmore. Limousine Liberal did what he did, which was pluck along, and he figured to be a logical board hit type, but Whitmore comes away with the grade one forego. I mentioned Baffert, and obviously we'll talk about the non-call when it came to Abel Tasman and a late. From the last year's coaching club, American Oaks. I don't know if I should lump all of the steward issues together in one story, maybe with Johnny, and probably tomorrow with John White. We'll get John's opinions. Very interesting between the nightcap Saturday and this call, and then yesterday's call in the sixth. It people keep saying, oh, consistency. I don't know if consistency, it's hard. Everyone is different. Every single one is different. And it's very hard. I mean, personally, my own call here on an Abel Tasman, if Elate had been holding a path, okay, yeah, you could take Abel Tasman down, but she wasn't. Elate was coming in as Abel Tasman was getting out. So that one, Elate came to Abel Tasman. Did Abel Tasman come a little further? A path and a half versus a path, or two paths to a path and a half, whatever. It wasn't like Elate was holding her path and you know, got interfered with free and clear, it didn't seem. Listen, I I used both, and I used Wildcat. I thought Wildcat had a chance to maybe, after second off the layoff, after that long layoff into the Shoe V, I thought maybe she was going to step forward. So I had all three on all my tickets. So it's not a question of, you know, I preferred one over the other. Baffert, for his part, of course, Marley's Freedom. To me, it's funny, Marley's Freedom, I saw some people say, well, there's no standout in the ballerina. It looked to me like there was a standout, and Marley's Freedom, I thought, was the day's best bet. And she, you know, she really has stepped forward, and she's going to be a bear going on toward Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint. Nice effort from Dane Kibiski's filly, still there. And watch the race again. Note that Union Strike took a step forward. Very much so. Very prescient comments from Mike Welch. Mike Welch had a big weekend, and including his Catholic Boy push. He was the lone analyst from the weekend preview that was all over Catholic Boy. He also, when it came to the Clocker Report, kind of warded people off of Finley's Lucky Charm and said that she was not as sharp coming into this as she had been. And I actually took heed with that. I thought that was very important info coming out of the Honorable Miss. And then there's Dale Romans and promises fulfilled. We'll get to that. And, of course, the Boston Spa, Kedura, salvages the day for Chad Brown. Let's take a timeout here. We'll come back. Ron Moquette's going to join us. Dale Romans, Johnny D, Jonathan Thomas. Let me see if Mike Beer's gotten back. And because I asked Beer if he would join us for maybe 11 o'clock to talk the weekend, get his take, as well as a look at the pick six today. Pick six today is very, I think it's approachable. And inviting. The better talk now is the stake. Let's take a timeout and bring you back with Moquette, who's had a very good meet at the races. Travers Weekend. Plenty to talk about.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Right here, right now.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 25 minutes to the top of the hour. Johnny D will join us then. Right now, we're looking forward to a conversation with Ron McQuett, who has really had a terrific Saratoga. And I very much humorously was last week was saying after Petrov's win and after every Moquette win, I'm saying I can't get these Moquette horses. I'm glossing over them or something, and I guess I did it here too, because Whitmore, certainly in hindsight, Ron, as you said yesterday on television, he's as fast as and as good as, and when you went through the recent misses, there were real reasons for him not winning. And so to gloss over him was a big mistake. And congratulations to you and Bob LaPenta and to Sal Kumin. Just a tremendous win, the Grade 1 Forgo.
Thank you very much. We're very excited.
Ronnie, how is he today? Yesterday morning, everything seemed fine. Another 24 hours?
Yeah, he's very happy. He seems... seems ready to go back to the track and have some fun.
Well, he's a gelding, and so you've got just carte blanche in terms of picking and choosing and targeting races and angling toward things. And one of the unique portions of the win Saturday, it's a win and you're in for Breeders' Cup, but it's for the Dirt Mile. Now, it is a one-turn mile course at Churchill. You're going to have another opportunity at Keeneland, but let's talk about 7/8 and this particular race. It is his first win at 7 furlongs.
Yeah, we were happy. That was one of the questions that he needed to answer is, could he compete with that caliber of horse at that distance? He hadn't done it yet. And won. So I was glad that that we took that worry off the table. And I think for sure he could get a mile. I have no doubt that he could be able to perform well at that distance. But I really like the three quarters, and we're going to try to see if we can earn a berth at Keeneland in the sprint as well, and we'll just play both options. But I would say right now we're leaning 60-40 to the sprint.
And on that topic, actually, then we'll talk about strategy and the way things came off. But
they don't. Do you get free tickets or anything if you don't use the, or you just get the fly sheet, the blanket?
Yeah,
is that the only thing you get?
I think we just get the fly sheet and the hat and stuff. But I was looking into seeing if I could transfer those miles or whatever they are to get our points over there, but I don't think they allow point transfer.
Well, this is a big win for the team and for the horse, because he's been dancing these dances. And, you know, grade one, he's not going to have a stud career, but it's really got to be satisfying to get him a win like this.
Well, personally for me, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's what I dream about, is winning these type of races. And there's, I've never had a horse that deserved it as much as him. He's, you know, he puts on his work boots and he shows up every race. And he's a, I tell everybody, he's a throwback horse, because he doesn't dodge and he doesn't, you know, avoid. He runs, and he's a consistent, hard knocking racehorse. And I love to see those kind of horses win the good races.
Well, we certainly saw it again on. On Saturday, what was the strategy going in? Certainly, Ricardo Santana has ridden him enough to know what to expect. But how did you think the race was going to unfold? And then, what did you see once the gates opened?
Well, I tell you the honest truth. I was going back and forth about what I say. You know, I'm really cautious, because Santana is very good at trying to give you what you ask him for. And so I wanted to make sure that I used the keyword, the right word, to make sure to say everything. And I run it through my mind, and all that night, that morning, or the night before, that morning, all the way up till we was in the paddock. And you know, I'm not completely forgetful, and I usually don't get bum-fuzzled or whatever, but what I said was, when I got ready to leg him up, was just play the break. I had all these things that I wanted to say, and what I said was play the break. And I think that's exactly what he wanted to hear, because he was able to go around there and use his judgment. And, you know, speed had been performing well, almost to a biased state at that day. And I was, you know, thinking that we couldn't be too far off, but I know it's a distance, or, you know, a little bit different distance, so I just didn't want to tell him anything except, you know, your horse, and play the break how it goes. And you're on a horse that can give you what you want. You're smart enough and strong enough to get us home.
Ride him like you own him.
That's right. That's right. And he and I go back a ways, so we can say a lot and not say anything. So, you know, we deal with each other in a different way than I deal with most riders. I can give him a look or something, and he knows what I mean. So, you know, that comes from, you know, I'm sure Todd and John have it, and I'm sure Ricardo and Steve have it too. But when you deal with someone that much, you know what they're thinking, and you kind of talk to them without saying much.
Well, it has been just a breakout year. I don't want to limit Santana's breakout to Saratoga, because not only did he win this, but he won the Met, you know, with B Jersey. He won the Apple Blossom with Unbridled Mo. I mean, so it's his fourth grade one of the year, or third. So it's been a very much a, you know, a look at me summer for him. People who, you know, may not watch, get a chance to see him other times of the year, they certainly have sat up and take notice of what he's done here this summer. He's just terrific. Let's get a couple of other thoughts. The Phoenix obviously is going to be on the agenda, and get the 6 furlong win and you're in. And, of course, the advantage of being at Churchill and running out of your own stall. The rest of the meet, Ron, for you, you've really had a steady series of performances. And when we talked yesterday, you cited adjusting to the racetrack and getting, in some cases, a second start in or some extra training over, you know, what is a deep and tiring set of surfaces at the Oklahoma and on the main.
This this track is a little different, and it takes a little getting used to. And for a guy coming up and trying to play it by ear, it's taken me back a little bit the first two or three weeks of racing. And I was really scratching my head. But I can say that there's no room for error. There's good horses and good trainers and good jocks at every turn. So you better bring over a horse that's ready to run. And I don't care if it's a maiden 40 or a group stake. There's some people that are capable of beating you if you give them room to. And, you know, every year I come here, I'm learning. I'm still kind of new to Saratoga. So I'm learning, and I hope to keep learning. But every year, you know, our motto is just do better. And we're trying to do better every year. And I think overall we are. So I'm really particular. I tell everyone it's still horse racing. You still got to have the horse. And, you know, at Saratoga, everybody's got the horse. So you better be ready.
Well, there's no doubt. Me got a week left after today, and so seven race cards, and you probably got a few more starters, but five wins, including the Grade One coming up later this week, coming up on Thursday. In fact, you got San Juan Diego, state bred that's had his chances, and you know certainly at Belmont. In May and July, and then in the first start, Saratoga, going back to August 2nd, he ran okay. It feels like he's got to find the right field.
Well, I think more than that, he's got to find the right distance. And at Saratoga so far, there hasn't been a maiden special weight going route carded on the dirt for state breeds. The whole meet, not one. So if you wanted to come up here and run your horse a route, and you had to enter it on the turf and pray for rain. So you're entering, and that's why you see the field size. I think everybody was wanting to, somebody was, you know, about half of them probably wanted to go further, but there's no distance. It's either 6.5 or 1.8 miles. And I'm willing to go 1.8 miles with San Juan Diego, but I don't think it's in the cards because it hasn't been ready. That being said, I'm learning that kind of stuff. It's like you, if you want to run your horse in a restricted state bred race in New York, you do it in New York at Belmont. But we're going to try to sneak him out a win before we get out of here and let him go on. But whenever he stretches out, he's a half the musket man. He wants to go a route of ground. We're just right now. It seems like we're practicing, trying to pick up the pieces.
Well, to get and I'm just looking through if there's enough pace in here, and it doesn't look like there. Well, there are. I tell you, three horses are putting blinkers on, and that might help you. You might get a little more lick for him to close into.
Yeah, that's the old thing, pace makes race, but not a lot of speed is backing up at this track so far. We'll try to get him placed comfortably a little closer so that it doesn't have to be as big a strong a kick. And I'm tickled to death with how the horses have been running and how, more importantly, how they're coming back sound. No matter what, if you're a trainer, you're going to complain about a track surface, and you're going to if you don't win, the track wasn't right, you know, or if you've got a closer that favors speed, if you've got a speed horse and it's favoring closers. I mean, we've all got our gripes, but as long as the horses come back safe and sound, then we can reshuffle and deal again somewhere else. And so far, I'm very happy with how all the horses are coming back.
Nice. Well, let me ask you, our friend John has got a couple of horses that he's tracking of yours. The Proverb is back at Churchill and, in fact, worked yesterday. And curious when we're going to see Proverb get a start.
I hope to start him in November or maybe Keeneland in October. He's a nice horse. I've got some very nice horses coming up. I've been blessed with some guys that stepped up, and you know, the Eric Johnson and the Sellers and Alex Lieblong. I mean, we've got William Sparks. These guys have all jumped in and realized that to beat or compete against the guys you want to, you better step up and buy the right horse. And they've really improved their game, and I think there's going to be some good stuff happening for us.
Nice. How about Tipizar?
She's kind of quick. She's we've entered her a couple times. I think she's a very nice horse. I think I was scared to run her up here. That shows you how my meet was going, is because everything I brought up that I thought was ready to run at Churchill, when I brought them up here, they showed that they weren't quite as fit, a different track surface or you know, whatever. But, you know, I was going to run her somewhere local, but when that race didn't happen, I decided I would go ahead and enter and bring her up here. So she'll have to bring her A game, and I hope she's fit enough, but she's a quality horse.
Run this weekend?
Yes, if the race goes.
If the race goes, exactly.
Yeah, good Lord, and Martin Panza says so.
Well, I all right. I almost got in trouble saying something. I'll wisely pull up. Ron, absolutely thrilled, as we said to you yesterday. Continued good health. Great to have had you all summer here, and looking forward to a big fall. You got the team is hitting on all cylinders in the Midwest, and saw that you got involved at Remington for the fall as well. So, no, we'll be talking
soon.
We're
happy with things are going, and we're counting our blessings, and we're going to keep pushing forward.
Ron Moquette, everybody, and you can follow both
Moquette Racing 97 on Twitter. That's the racing side. And then, if you want to get to know Ron, and it's an adventure, the personal side is Moquette, Moquett. So he's got two Twitters, and you can follow both. Dale Romans is Romans Racing on Twitter, and luckily he's got people to handle it, because God knows if they put the keyboard in Dale's hands, who knows what might go out there over the Twitter. Dale joins us on a really an incredible result when it came to the Allen Jerkins, and you've heard Dale talk glowingly about the chief himself, and I'm sure Dale had no problem winning if this had still been the King's Bishop, but now the Allen Jerkins, that makes it special. And then to run 1-2 as an added bonus, just a tremendous result for the Romans team. Bob Barron's promises fulfilled, follows up from the Amsterdam, and Seven Trumpets absolutely fills out his promise, as Dale told you months and months ago that he was a nice horse and he would get his opportunity. Dale Romans joins us. Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. It was a special day to win the Chiefs race.
I knew that part of it was a big element. You went into this with a lot of chess pieces, Dale. Promises fulfilled off the Amsterdam, clearly the horse to beat. Then you had Seven Trumpets. Talk about approaching it and how it unfolded from your eyes.
Well, I mean, it was Promises Fulfilled. It was just doing so good. The race he ran up here in Amsterdam was huge. And so I guess it was his race to lose, but it was a good race. Full of good horses, engaged a good horse. The horse that won down at Belmont so big was a good horse, Frisian Fire. And it was a tough race, but I just knew he was doing well. Both horses were training well. You know, I think Promises probably won 100% on his own. We might have got a little extra divine intervention, a little push from Allen to get second.
One of the things that made this race not hard to watch, but a little bit weird. The transponder was missing or wasn't broadcasting, so people that were watching the chicklets and looking for the red number one, it wasn't on the screen. So as you're watching portions of the race, and particularly when the horses were on the far turn, you couldn't really see where he was. I mean, I typically will glance at the chicklets and trying to discern where horses are. Did you pick up on that?
No, I heard about it later, but from Bob, some of his kids, they didn't know where he was, but on the screen. But I always just watch him live, so I didn't hear about it till yesterday.
Until they hit the stretch and the green cap popped up on Saez's head, that's when I picked him up.
Right.
The one of the things that was strange about all three of the 7-furlong races, there wasn't, other than Promises Fulfilled, there really wasn't obvious breakaway speed. What did you tell Louis and in terms of going into the race, and what were the concerns?
Well, if you go back to Amsterdam, first of all, I told Louis just hit the gas, the speed's his weapon. And he kind of looked at me funny because he got inside information somebody else was going to be gunning too. And so just give him 100 yards and then figure it out from there. And he let the horse get in front of him. He came to the outside and showed we could stalk and come from off the pace. But out of the one hole, you had to scrap that. You just had to go. And so I just told him, just go and don't get him in any trouble and see if they can run with him. And, the worst thing they can do is try to run with him early because he's got such good stamina. He doesn't get tired and he's been able to out-grind everybody.
There were really waves of foes that came and tried him. And talk about the stretch run. When did you pick up that Seven Trumpets was in the midst of a rally?
Well, I saw him cut the corner on the turn, and Robbie rode a great race there. A lot of times, great rides get overlooked by jockeys that didn't win the race. And he rode an excellent race. He saved ground. He let the speed go. He just sat there, and I watched him cut the corner, and I knew he wasn't going to back up. I didn't know if he was going to get by engaged until the end, but then he kind of found a little crack and came through, and he ran a huge race, too.
Now, it closed within about a length and a half of Promises Fulfilled, but he was cruising home at that point.
Right.
I was amused to hear Bob Barrett say this was his biggest thrill, because 4 weeks ago, it was the biggest thrill. So it didn't take long.
One-upped himself in the same week. That's pretty good. Now, here's the question, Steve. We'll ask the listeners. Pointing towards the Breeders' Cup mile, where he would be the complete controlling speed and probably have a softer pace and he just ran 7/8, or do we want to go point towards the Breeders' Cup sprint where there might be some speed in there to try to hook him? And he has to Jacob factors in, there's $1 million more. I never look at the purse until after the race, but $1 million more for the sprint than there is dirt mile. So
well,
what do you think? You'd be the first one to give me your opinion.
Now, the sprint, I think the sprint is still a bigger prize, and particularly when it comes to building the resume, you are going to have to deal with Imperial Hint and whatever comes from California.
Yeah, I don't doubt, but I would like to find the easiest spot of 10. But if you win the Breeders' Cup Sprint, you are pretty much guaranteed Sprint champion.
Oh, after winning this, and if you were to win that, I can tell you that Moquette is going to run in the Phoenix with designs on the sprint, and we know that, or expect anyway, that Mind Your Biscuits is headed to the mile. It'll be interesting to see what I tell you.
You really think what if Mind That Biscuits runs big into Wayne Lucas? Does it go to the mile, or does he try the classic? You know, his next step is the Wayne Lucas at the mile of 16.
Right.
He ran big in the mile of 8, and he ran big in the Whitney.
They're aggressive. They're certainly aggressive. I think I would like expect, though, that what they just saw from Catholic Boy and Mendelson, and knowing that diversify and accelerate, there's plenty of pace, and the way he runs maybe come with a run. These are the most intriguing questions heading toward Breeders' Cup. It's not a question of just the horses. It's some of the style points and how that shapes up. Either way, what you've done with this horse and the refocus back to sprinting, really a wonderful part of the Saratoga summer for you. Let's turn our attention, meanwhile, to the Travers and pick up the ball, because King Zachary ran a sneaky good race from the furthest part back on the back stretch and put in a nice run.
He did. I was proud of him. That race is chock full of good horses, and he beat a lot of good horses, and he was the only horse really to close on the outside all day. And he got beat 2.5 lengths per second. The Catholic Boy went and ran a super race, but 2.5 lengths per second. I was very proud of him, and probably take him back to Pennsylvania and take a 1-2 punch into there with him and Mr. Freeze.
Very nice. Very nice. Give us your always fun for analysis, looking at the way the Travers unfolded and the result. Some thoughts?
The surprise to me was Mendelson. I didn't expect him. I didn't understand coming. The only reason you could expect him to run well is out of respect for the whole operation over there, Aiden and this team. But I didn't understand the move to come off the Dwyer and finish third and go back into the Travers, and it worked out very well. And it was interesting that a couple horses didn't show up. I never did hear anything excuses out of Good Magic, but or Gronkowski, but neither one of them showed up at all.
No, well, Good Magic didn't have a great start, and he got shuffled back, and I think he was on his heels immediately, and it just took him out of his game completely.
Yeah, but great horses should be able to overcome. He didn't show up. That to me was the biggest surprise, was the way they ran. You know, the filly she fought for a while, and it was you can't knock Mark for trying to do something special and something unique. But I don't know. Overall, it was an interesting race going in, and it was an interesting race coming out.
Very much so. Well, Dale, you win races like the Alan Jerkins, run 1-2, and win an Amsterdam, and there's been plenty of other nice results. How are you going to finish up? How many more you got to send over these next 7 days?
We just got a couple to run and left to run, but the big one's going to be Free Drop Billy trying the turf in the Saranac, see if he could do what his brother's done on grass. He worked
very fun
on the dirt. Yeah, and I chose the turf train track looked a little beat up, so I decided not to try him on the grass. So it'll be the first time he ever steps foot on it with tack on. But his brother runs so well on it, we'll give him a chance, and he's doing good right now.
Excellent. Well, look forward to that this weekend. And let me ask you about Friday, 8-1, the Shackleford filly, Shacklet at Ellis.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to run her, but if we do, she's going to run big. She's doing very well. I think she needed a couple races to learn what she was doing. She's come back and worked well since. She's a talented filly. I'd love to see her run well and be able to wheel her back into the stake opening day at Churchill.
How loaded are you in terms of the Kentucky down starts?
I don't know. We'll run a few down there. I'll have normal 5 or 6 starters. A lot of it depends on how many you can get in. But we should be loaded come September for Churchill. Got a lot of action there.
How was that? I didn't see it, but I did. I see the result. The winner at Ellis last week, Everfast.
Everfast is doing great. Yeah, Channing said he had a lot of horses. He could have won by more. He said he thinks he's going to be a good one. We'll take him to the Iroquois.
Very good. All right. keep tabs. And I did run into Roddy Valenti, a little bit of a turnout for Coach Rocks.
Yeah, we'll just give her a little time. I always thought the older she got, the better she'd get. You know, she made a big move, change from 2 to 3, and hopefully if she can move forward from 3 to 4, we'll have a great mare next year.
Nice. Nice. Well, been a great summer. Promises fulfilled. And Seven Trumpets follows up his Dwyer second with a second in the Alan Jerkins. And I don't think I asked. What's he go to next?
Which one?
You broke Seven Trumpets.
Oh, Seven Trumpets. I don't know. Maybe the Perryville. Maybe the ACAC. I'm going to talk to him. That's another question. Do we try to point him towards the mile or the sprint? And so I'll talk with Terry and his team at West Point. You know, we work hand in hand together all the time, and we'll see what path gives us the best shot at getting to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, plenty of paths being trod by the team from Romans Racing, all smiles on Saturday, running 1-2, and then in the Jerkins, and then fourth in the Travers. Dale, well done.
You know, let me tell you one thing. I'm thinking, I heard what you said a minute ago. I'm thinking about taking over my own Twitter feed for one day.
Perfect. A Twitter takeover, yeah. As they say.
Yeah, and so I might announce that day on your show one day next week or something when I want to tweet out all myself.
Well, that'll be
my first tweet.
That'll be eventful.
I'm going to make Jake walk along beside of me and do it for me because I've never even sent an email in my life. So
I love it.
All right, Steve. Talk to you later.
Dale, thanks a lot. Dale Romans, thanks, everybody. A big, big Saratoga summer with the wins in the Amsterdam and 1-2 in the Jerkins. Not too bad. As always, keep an eye on those Ellis horses, and that includes his. Let's take a timeout. Just past the top of the hour, Johnny D. He and Will Schwartz are heading home to Philadelphia after a triumphant tour of Saratoga National and Saratoga Racecourse, their annual summer visit. See what Johnny thought of the entire stay, as well as how he did at the windows, and more. We've got to talk, got to also get his opinion on the steward's call yesterday. I gave you my first thought on the elate Abel Tasman, which I thought no call made sense. The one on Saturday that I didn't understand, how could you not DQ in the nightcap? I mean, that was unbelievable. It was like a train wreck. Then yesterday, now I I'll provise it, and you know, I do my best to not overreact or to get worked up over steward decisions, because all you can do is hope in the grand scheme of things, in the great roulette wheel of steward decisions in your lifetime. You just hope that, you know, the peg falls in your slot enough to break even, frankly, or you know, put a little in your pocket. You can't. It's happenstance a lot of times. So I don't get too worked up. And you know that I've told you before, I got taken down for $20,000 at Del Mar a few summers ago. Yesterday got taken down for probably paid $6,000. It probably would have paid about half that had Dr. Edgar stayed up. So figure $3,500 probably. And so at the time, I thought it was a ridiculous call. I just didn't get it. Tom Amos, though, thought it was the right call. And if a guy like Tom Amos thought it was the right call, and then when I watched it again, I understood the takedown. So I know these are hard to stomach if you're on the other end, but there's no design by steward teams to figure out a way to make the wrong call every time.
But that's what people seem to think. Back after this with Johnny.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, that top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.